10:15, let's get started. Who here is excited to finally see power view over multidimensional cubes? Yes, great. At last, we have the functionality to do power view reports over multidimensional models. This session is going to go deep into what does it mean to have multidimensional models in power view? Because for those of you who are aware of power view, who has used power view before? Okay? Who has used multidimensional models before? Okay? For some of you, it's new. This session goes into how the multidimensional model translates to power view model. So if you're not familiar with multidimensional models or power view, it might be a little bit hard. What we're going to do here is we're going to look at how it's getting translated from multidimensional into the tabular world. Because power view is a tabular tool. Multidimensional is a multidimensional tool. So they're kind of different. What we try to achieve here is, with the latest version, for those of you who are not aware, at the latest CU of SQL Server 2012 SP1, you can download, install on your servers, and you will get this capability. I'll go into a little bit more details what you need to update, but it is available for everyone who has SQL Server 2012 right now to download and install on your machines. So what is important? The highlight of the core integration was a gap to fill the PowerView connection to the cubes. And with that, let's go take a look at what we're going to look at today. So the agenda of today is we're going to do a general overview of what does it actually mean, what did we do, and what components are affected. We're going to look at all the different types of things that are exposed in multidimensional models that are not there inside tabular models, things like measure groups, dimensions, calculated members, images. In this case, it was not exposed in tabular models, in multidimensional models before, but it was a function in power view. What do perspective and translations, how does it work? And the last thing, pin filter is actually not a multidimensional feature, but it's a feature the reporting services, the power view team sneaked in. So we're going to look into that as well. And then I will urge you to keep the questions till the last piece, because I have some FHQ of things. There are some things that are not supported, but what we try to do is we try to look at all the multidimensional models out there. And what we don't want you to have to do, you've invested a lot of money in building those multidimensional cubes. What we hope you don't have to go do is change the models. So what we hope should work is upgrade your servers to a new version of SQL Server 2012 for the latest CU. And PowerView should just work. You don't have to change the model or anything. We just made sure that the underlying servers now understand this and translate everything. So in the Q&A, we will go take a look at what is not supported and some other often heard questions. It's mostly going to be demos. So a lot of demos, a lot of going back and forward between multidimensional and PowerView and such. So. What is it that we have done? Well, you see someone who's sitting at her desk working with PowerView in the browser. She goes to connect to Internet Explorer. She opens up PowerView. And what happens today is she creates a connection to SharePoint 2010 or 2013. Again, this is the first component. If you want to have PowerView over multidimensional working, you need to update the reporting services components in your SharePoint. Either 2010 or 2013. Both will work. But you do need to update that on the server. Right now, what happens is the reporting services will ask tabular metadata of the analysis services tabular model. Well, that seems simple. Tabular model, tabular metadata, simple. So what it will do is, based on that, send DAX queries. So it now knows what things are in the model. A customer starts using PowerView, and now it becomes... It knows how to create those DAX queries and sends them against the tabular model. What we've now have working is she now connects to a multidimensional cube. Same thing goes. She will ask for tabular metadata because we didn't change PowerView. We changed our engine. The analysis service engine now also supports tabular metadata. So you can ask tabular metadata and we will transform it for you. And also, you are able now to send DAX queries against a multidimensional cube. So you can both send NDX and DAX queries to a multidimensional cube. Both are being built on SQL Server Data Tools. We'll come to that in a second. So this is the picture as we've been drawing it for a long time, ever since SQL Server 2012 came out. You have the BI semantic model, which is our name for our entire analysis services stack. What we want to achieve is you can, as a BI pro or someone who builds cubes, can choose. You can choose either a multidimensional cube or a tabular model based on the needs that you have. Do you want to have your business logic in NDX? Do you want to have a multidimensional view? For the real of the financial applications, you probably want to go with multidimensional, but quick and easy and fast, you go with tabular. But not all the features are there in tabular that are there multidimensional. So what would happen today is if you build a tabular model, you can only use Excel or any tool that talks MDX. You couldn't do anything with the new tools like ParView to connect to a multidimensional cube because the multidimensional cubes didn't know anything about DAX. So we changed this. So now ParView automatically supports multidimensional cubes also support DAX queries. Not DAX measures, but DAX queries. So what we do under the covers is map multidimensional to tabular. So this is the mapping that we make. So if you have a cube in multidimensional, it will be translated into a model in tabular world. If you have a cube dimension, it will be translated into a table. Attributes, keys, and names are going to be translated into columns. So you have tables and columns. A measure group will also become a table, because we don't have a concept of measure group in the tabular world. Everything is related to a table. So what we did is translate the measure group into a table. A measure is still going to be called a measure. A measure without a measure group is, so there's going to be a table created called measures, and that's where the measures are going to be stored. The measure group to the cube dimension relationship, it's just called a relationship. So you see we tried to make everything back into the tabular model world where we have just tables and relationships. Nothing else, no measure groups, no all of those things. We still have perspectives, there's still perspectives. KPIs are still KPIs. User hierarchies and parent-child hierarchies are going to be translated to just hierarchies. So we do support the parent-child hierarchies that are there today in the multidimensional world, and they don't exist in a tabular model in the same self-referencing way as it is in multidimensional world. So, multidimensional to tabular mapping. These slides are probably not available to you right now to download, but they will become available at some point this week because we just released CU4, and this slide contains some reference to CU4, so we didn't want to publish it before. But they are downloadable, and you can get all this information there. So how do we send those queries? How does the engine work? How does the engine work these days? Because now it needs to do all kinds of magic between different query engines and different servers or the different parts of the engine. So what happens is a client application connects to a multidimensional cube. And this is a tabular client application. It sends a discoverer called CSDL metadata. And in this case, it gets an entity framework kind of a model back. And that is a tabular representation, tables and relationships. What it will do is it will go to the query parser. The query parser knows someone asks for metadata. It goes to the metadata layer that we have in our engine. And the metadata layer will translate the multidimensional stuff into tabular metadata. So it will be returned to the client tool. The client tool now knows the schema and the tabular schema of the multidimensional model. Then it knows how to write DAX. So someone drags in a fields and measures into ParView. ParView now starts creating DAX queries. So the first thing that will happen is it will send the DAX query to the query parser. The query parser will go to the engine, to the formula engine. It goes to the DAX query processor. The DAX query processor is going to check with the metadata layer. Did you use all the columns? Are those correct? You didn't make any mistakes? Does everything exist? If they don't exist, it goes back with an error saying you used columns that I don't know about. The DAX query can consist of two different parts. It can contain measures, and measures in the multidimensional world are MDX measures. And it can contain, for example, I want to see sales amount by fiscal year. Fiscal year is not a measure, it's just an attribute. So what it will do is it will directly go down into the dimension query, and it directly goes into a storage engine to retrieve those values. But the DAX query will also need to be able to execute MDX. It needs to get those results from those MDX measures. So we'll go to the MDX formula engine to get those measures. The formula engine then will go down to the formula engine cache, see if it's cached. And then it will go to the storage engine evaluation engine if it's not cached. The storage engine evaluation engine now has these two requests, and it either goes to the storage engine cache or goes to get the data from the partition, either in memory or on disk. When it has all of that information, it will push it back to the client application, and it now has all the information. And the client now has the information needed to plot that, whatever it is that it needed. Usually DAX is a tabular result set where multidimensional is an actual multidimensional result set where you actually have cell sets and all of that. Tabular doesn't have that. DAX queries always return a tabular result set. Okay, with that, I'm going to go into the next slide, and I'm going to go to measure groups and measures. So I'm going to go do demo. So the first thing that I want to go do is I want to go ahead, and we're going to leave the slides for now. There are more slides that are contained inside the slide deck, but we're going to stay here for a while and not come back to the slides. So the first thing that I want to do is I've opened up my model in Visual Studio 2012. This is available as a web download. SQL Server Data Tools for BI, you can download from the web, and that web will give you access to Visual Studio 2012. So you can have multidimensional models in Visual Studio 2012. What you see here is your typical AdventureWorks model as is. We didn't make any changes to it. Well, we made a few changes, but I'll show you those later. But this is as is. We didn't make any specific changes to be able to support DAX over multidimensional, what we call the DAX-MD, DAX over multidimensional. So what you see here already is there are two things. You have measures and measure groups. You have dimensions. This is the first big difference between tabular and multidimensional. So how did we solve that problem? So let's go back and see how it looks in PowerView. So I have PowerView installed on my SharePoint machine. What I have done here is created an RSDS file, which is part of the reporting services when you install on SharePoint. And I've created a connection to my AdventureWorks Cube. The most important thing that I've already seen a few people on the internet when they try to install it and they had issues is they forget to set the data source type to BI semantic model for PowerView. If you don't do that, PowerView will tell you, if you just choose analysis services here, PowerView will tell me, I don't know what this is, but it's not tabular in nature, so please go away. So you need to choose BI semantic for PowerView. If you do that, PowerView will know what it needs to do when it creates a connection to this. For the rest, this is just a regular connection string. I'm using connected to my multidimensional instance. I'm selecting my AdventureWorks DW multidimensional cube, and I'm selecting my AdventureWorks cube. The rest, I'm going to just leave the same. I'm just connecting with my own credentials. I'm not going to click on that guy because I have a prepared model, but you should be able to just click on the RSDS file, and it just opens up for you. So the first thing that you might notice is we're going to look at measure and measure groups. And the first thing that you might notice is the measure groups and the dimensions here are also being shown in PowerView. Where we previously only had normal tables with this table icon, we now also have tables that have sigma signs in front of them. And these are the measure groups. The measure groups are exposed directly inside Power View. So the first thing that we want to do is internet sales amount by fiscal year. Let's move those up. So you immediately see that we now can use the data interactively with the multidimensional model. One thing you might notice, and this is also different with using a tabular model than a multidimensional model, is if you connect PowerView against a tabular model, fields that are numerical values you can use to create implicit measures. If you have any numerical value, like order quantity or all of those things, you can just drag those into PowerView, and PowerView will create sum of, count of, whatever you want to do with it from all numerical measures, all numerical columns that are available. In PowerView, for multidimensional, we don't support this. Can you imagine the havoc that you can create by exposing this to multidimensional world? No. So you can only use real, properly defined measures in the multidimensional models, because the difference is tabular models is always in memory, and it's created for that. So all the columns are always in memory and always going to be accessible and aggregatable fast. Multidimensional is not, because you need to define your own paths by creating predefined paths to be able to make it fast. So we decided to not expose implicit measures in PowerView for multidimensional, because it could lead to performance issues. It probably will, actually. So the other thing you might have noticed down here is there are display folders. That is also new in PowerView, but of course not new in the multidimensional world. So PowerView now supports display folders, only for multidimensional as of yet, not for tabular yet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the financial perspective, growth revenue, and here we see the KPI that is also being exposed. We also already had KPIs in tabular models, but this KPI has an additional feature. It has status and also has trends. We didn't have trends before. In tabular, we now have trends in PowerView as well. So let's go back and take a look at this KPI. So what happens here is I have a KPI called Internet Revenue. It is associated with the Internet Sales Measure Group. It has value expressions, goal expressions, all MDX, a trend, and it is and it's containing in a display folder. So display folder now is being shown here directly into PowerView. The other interesting thing is MDX has something called cell errors. If you have cell errors in your MDX cube, they will be just showing up inside the cell that has cell errors. That is also new in PowerView. Before, if you would have any error in your query in PowerView, PowerView would just stop the entire display of the entire view. Now we'll just show the error in a particular cell if you have it. So under the covers, what is it doing? It is not sending MDX. It is sending, I've started a profiler in the back, which sends queries, which traces the queries that are being sent against my model. And you can see here, it is actually sending DAX queries against the multidimensional model. Something, for those of you who are familiar with DAX and DAX queries, you might see something interesting here. What is being exposed here and what is being used in DAX queries is actually key versus name. So few of the big things that we have in multidimensional that don't exist in tabular models is things like key versus name, which means I have a column and I want to sort this column by a different column, by a key and not on the name itself. Tabular models don't have that capability. Here, multidimensional has that capability. So that will continue to work. If you have key versus name, if you have special types of attribute relationships, all of that will automatically be able to be pushed down into the model. And in this case, a small difference between using DAX and MDX is in DAX, the end user tool needs to take care of the grouping itself. DAX needs to take care of the grouping itself based on the metadata that is being exposed. If you ask a multidimensional, give me this particular column, and this column is actually grouped by a different column, you will just get this column grouped by a different column in MDX. In DAX, it doesn't work that way. If you ask for this column, you will just get all the values of this column, not grouped by this column, because we expect the client tool in DAX to be able to do that for you. It is not as strict metadata as it is in multidimensional. So it's sending DAX. I'm going to turn it off. Okay. So I've tried to use my slides in here, Power View slides. So we're going to look at dimensions and attributes. So I'm going to open up the cube again, and I'm going to go to my geography dimension. So as you can see here, the geography dimension has attributes, and it has a hierarchy created. So a dimension is being created, geography with specific hierarchy attributes. I can go back into my table and go to my geography table, and I'm going to use country, and I'm going to create a slicer from it. I'm going to add state province, and I'm going to add, let's see, internet sales amount. No, retail sales. Okay. So one thing you might have noticed here, and now I can use all the slicers, and it will just work. So all those features that PowerView supports now is also supported against multidimensional models. One thing you might have noticed down here is, you already see it, there's a special icon in front of the column. In this case, it's a globe. So what this means is, PowerView knows there's something special with this thing. So when I select this, I can click on the map here, and I'll automatically connect to Bing, and we'll show you all the values on a map. The slicer still works, so I can go across all the values. It does not have to have lat longs and all of that. It just uses the values that I have in my database to go look in Bing and look it up, where is it, and comes back and tells me where it is. The funny thing about this is you don't even need to have city names. I mean, for example, it can find anything. It can find the convention center here. It can find Safeco Field, where the Mariners play in Seattle. Everything that you can find with using Bing, you can plot here on the map as well. So it actually, it's pretty cool. The other thing that you might be able to do is go to my products, and I can go into group these things into colors. Now I can say only show me the accessories or the bikes, clothing, components. And I will automatically split the values up. I can zoom in, zoom out. So how does PowerView know that this is actually a city? So what we need to do is set something in multidimensional that has been there for years. In this case, if you go to state province, there is something called attribute types. And in this case, we set the attribute type to state or province. And it's just a drop-down list, and it contains a whole bunch of things. There is a set of attribute types that are supported by PowerView. You can find that on books online. Things like city, like state province, like country, all of those things are supported if you set those. If you don't set those, PowerView will still be able to plot it into a map, but you need to do a little bit, the end user needs to do a little bit more manual work inside PowerView. Okay. Oh, the other thing that still works, that also works is, let me go back in here, let me show you. I'm going to use date, fiscal date. Sorry. Let me add fiscal years. And again, let's do internet sales amount. We could do column chart. And the thing that also still works inside Power View is cross-filtering. So when I select things like this, you see automatically the rest will also automatically change. So cross-filtering, which is one of the bigger features from Power View, is still supported in here. And the other way around as well. Select bikes, accessories, you can automatically see how these things behave, relate to each other. Okay. So the next thing, hierarchies. So we have a whole bunch of different types of hierarchies inside multidimensional cubes. In Tableau, it's pretty simple. You just create a hierarchy and you're done. Here, we have a whole bunch of different types. For example, if you go to the product table, you can see we have three different hierarchies. It actually is based on three different tables, but it displays as one dimension, which is, again, different than in Tableau, where we would show three different tables. Here, we show it as one table with attributes and three different hierarchies which you can create from those different tables and into the same hierarchy. So how does these exposed? Scroll down. Our product. And here we see product categories and product model lines. So category, subcategory. What you see is it automatically, when I scroll down, where I hover over the bottom one, it automatically pre-selects the checkboxes. So I can click on this guy, and I'll automatically select both first two of the hierarchy. If I add this one, it's the last one. But I'm going to stick with the two now. So I'm going to add internet sales, sales amount, and that will show me the values. There's an additional thing here what I can do, is I can go to my matrix view. And this makes it more like a view inside, as it is in Excel. But the other thing that I can do is here is show levels. I can do enable drill down on rows. So now it shows me only the first level of the hierarchy. I can double click. It goes one down one level. I can move back up. I can go down here. I can move back up. All of these things are now also supported inside Power View directly. Another thing that we have in multidimensional, but we don't have in Tableau, is this is our employee dimension, and here we have a self-referencing parent-child dimension. So we have a parent-child, and we have a self-referencing parent-child attribute. How does this work? Well, let's go back in. Let's go to my employee table. And here we see employees. And it's being shown as a hierarchy. And you see it automatically shows the number of levels that are there. How does it know how much levels that are there? So what happens is, because this is a self-referencing, we don't determine in multidimensional cubes how much levels there are. So what happens is, during the CSDL discover, the first connection that is being made to the model, it asks for the metadata, the amount of rows that are there, the amount of levels. So what it will do is we'll look at the data and determine how many levels there are. If you come back tomorrow and the cube has been reprocessed and a different level is there, you will see this additional level automatically show up here. So it automatically takes care of that number of levels that are here based on the data that is inside the model. So what I can do is I can select, let's do three levels. And again, we're going to do sales targets, sales quotas. I'm going to put it down here. And again, you can put it into matrix view and drill down on levels. So what we see, you can use normal hierarchies, you can drill down automatically, you can use parent-child hierarchies. Those will automatically determine the depth based on the CSDL and the data that is there. So that is supported. Another interesting thing to notice here is that I want to just point out, what also is supported is all the dimension security. So dimension security is fully supported and will be honored by Power View when you use this. So if you don't have access to a dimension, you won't see it here. In Tableau, we don't have anything that is called object-level security. We only have data-level security. In multidimensional, object-level security is honored. If you don't have access to this dimension, you won't see it. Okay. So what else do we have is non-aggregatable attributes. So for example, let's go to the account dimension. And in the account dimension, we again have a parent-child hierarchy. And what I want to do here is we have a setting in multidimensional that says, is aggregatable true or false? And that determines if values can be summed by the particular value that is in here. And I'll give you an example. So in this case, what we have here is accounts. I'm going to use three levels. So we have an account. It's a balance sheet. It's net income. And we have account levels. And on that, I want to do amount. I can switch to a matrix view. And now you can automatically see that there are totals for account level 3. There are totals for account level 2. But there's no total for account level 1. So PowerView automatically makes sure that there's never going to be a total shown for the account level 1. So you won't be able to see that. That is also supported by our engine. And the other thing that we support is to see down here, for statistical accounts, it doesn't make any sense to aggregate the totals on this level. So what we here return is an NA. This was previously also not supported by PowerView. PowerView could always only get one different type. So if you have a measure, you can only get a numerical value returned. Now, in MDX, you can do all kinds of tricks. You can say, if it is statistical accounts and you do a grand total, return NA instead of the actual value. So that is also supported by PowerView. Okay, what else? Default members. So let's go back into the scenario. And scenario is only one particular value, but this one particular value does have a default member. And a default member is set to actual. So the value that is being the default member is the actual value inside this account attribute. So what I'm going to do here is go back to my PowerView. Go to my scenario. Open it up. And you see we have actual budget variance, percentage, and forecast. And what I can do is, let me make my screen a little bit wider. I can add this to filters. And when I do this, it becomes a little bit. It now actually says, scenario is the default actual. So automatically, the filter is being used that is being determined by a default member. So if you have default member set, you can just drag in the value into the filters. And now the values will automatically be filtered down by this default member. I can override this. I can say I want to see actual and budget variance percentage. I can do forecast. But by default, it automatically filters it down by default is actual. So default members are also accessible inside PowerView. Okay. Now, one of the most interesting features that we have inside multidimensional is calculated members. What I've tried to do here is not go back to the slides. I've just put the slides inside PowerView so that we can look at them here. So what do we have is two types of calculated members. We have calculated members that are children of all with a single member. And I'm going to show demos about this later on. And we have calculated members on user hierarchies. One of the biggest things that we don't support today is calculated members on user hierarchies. So we don't support that because it's very difficult to implement inside the PowerView. So if you have that, it won't show up in PowerView. Your cube will work. The only thing that won't show up is the calculated member on the user hierarchies. If you want to make sure, if you want to see what is not supported in your cube when you use PowerView, what you can do is we've made a trick. in the MSMGRV log file from your analysis service multidimensional cube, the first time Power View sends a CSDL discover to your multidimensional cube, everything that will not work will be logged into that log file. So for the first time when you want to expose your cube and you want to make sure everything works, go browse into the log file from the analysis services, and you will be able to see if there's anything that doesn't work. So this is kind of a backdoor way to check if things will work or don't work, especially if you have a very large cube. It's easy to miss if you go through it in the UI. But normal children of all but a single member are supported, and that is the most common case. Some additional constraints. You need to have a single real member when the dimension has more than one attribute. Attributes cannot be key unless it's the only attribute. So if you have a dimension with a lot of attributes, if you have the calculated member as a key, that dimension will not show up. And it can also not be a parent-child attribute. But it is our understanding that most of you don't have this in your models. So we think we should be good, and there are workarounds around this to solve this in a different way. So let's go ahead and take a look at how calculated members show up. I'm going to fit the window off again. Yep. And the first thing that I want to go do is I want to go to my scenario again. And so this is one of the things that I have calculated members. So if I go into my data source view and go into my scenario, I can explore the data. And this actual in the data underlying the multidimensional cube, it actually has three values: actual, budget, and forecast. But if you go back here and add scenario, you see we have five different values. So these are the calculated members that are being added. So if you go back to my model and go into the calculations, and let me see. What we've done here in script is say create a member of the scenario table that is called budget variance percentage. And it uses an MDX script to calculate the budget variance, and it's going to return it as a percentage. So now we add a value to the dimension attribute, and if that dimension attribute is being used, this is the function that is being calculated. And we also add one, that's a little bit more. See. And we also have one for budget variance. And budget variance returns a currency. So this is another thing that we support now is dynamic format strings. Previously, that was not possible in Power View. You can only have one format string. Multidimensional has the capability to do different format strings. So within one table, within one result set, you will now be able to see multiple different values. Formatting strings returned. So in this case, let's take a look at how it looks. So here you see we automatically have actual budget, budget variance, and the variance in percentage. So you see dollar, 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 percentage. This is this dynamic formatting that I was talking about. Again, this uses some tricks under the covers to expose these values to Power View. It uses some special DAX functions. It's very interesting if you're interested in DAX and all of that. It's very interesting to take a look at the profile and see the queries that are being sent. Okay. Another good example for this is our destination currency table. So what we have in here is a table that says what is the destination currency of my values. So again, this is an example of format strings, because we have three different currencies in our data warehouse. We only want to make sure that either it's shown in the right currency or, it needs to be shown in the right currency, because if, let's say, we show English pounds into dollars, you might have a big issue. Again, this uses a form of calculated members. And in this case, it's using, let me scroll up. In this case, it's using a scope assignment that says, set the language property for destination currency And it says scope it for the currency code and the currency member code and change the language based on the values that are inside the cube. So it automatically determines the values inside the cube and the attributes to determine the right format string. Again, that is also fully supported by PowerView. Destination currency. And here you see it. Australian dollar, Canadian dollar. Well, they both have the same sign, but euro has different, and the US dollar. So you see automatically, based on the values inside the table, the LSID ID, the right format string is automatically being set and determined by PowerView. Okay, the last one is the most interesting type of calculated members, and you've probably all seen or heard of, and probably used it, is the date, special date calculation. So what I have here is my date dimension, and I have my fiscal date calculation that I created by going to the Business Intelligence Wizard. So I've created the BI Wizard, I've run through it, and I've created fiscal special fiscal date calculated members. There is one difference between exposing this and in the previous one. This is one example where the calculated member is part of a dimension that contains many attributes. And due to technical reasons, we cannot expose that as a in the same dimension that it really is. So we should have exposed that value inside the date dimension. We had to create a separate dimension that contains the fiscal date calculations. So this now contains that one particular fiscal date calculations measure, calculated member. I can add it. It will still work, but it is, we were unable to add it to the same dimension due to technical reasons. But you can use it, and it works. And what I have here is I can go back into the cube again and scroll down to the bottom. And here we see all these calculated members that I created. Year to date, semester date, quarter to date, month to date. All of those are in here using scope assignments and MDX queries. I can scroll down. And there's a bunch of them. So what is the thing this will do is I can go in here, and I can go at my internet sales amount. I will say NA because, I mean, month-over-month growth, I do need to have a time to be able to use month-over-month growth. So I'm going to add a few more things to my model, to my table. I'm going to add date. I'm going to add fiscal year, 2008. So now we automatically see year-over-year growth, and those things start popping up. The other thing that I want to do is add a month. Month of years, I'm going to make it into a matrix. So now you automatically see, and let me scroll down a little bit. Zoom in. Oh, sorry. Yeah, so now you see current date, month-over-month growth, month-over growth percentage, month-to-date, quarter-to-date. All of those things will now show up. A very cool way of using this is I can actually add this calculated member as a filter. And now it automatically says current date. I can say I want to see the current date. So again, this is showing up of the default member. It automatically shows current date by default selected. I can add current date, I want to see the month-over-month growth, I want to see year-to-date, and year-to-date percentage. So you can automatically build up your pivot table, as it were, by selecting things on the right into the filter pane, and automatically shows those things up into the tablex. Let's see, what else do we have? Okay. Another very interesting thing that we added to multidimensional is images. This was already a feature in PowerView where you can show images inside PowerView. Let me show you. But we added something very, very small to multidimensional, which allowed you to do this. So again, I'm going to go to my geography table. I'm going to add country flag. I'm going to make that into a slicer. And I'm going to add product category by internet sales amount. See, reseller. Order quantities. I'm going to turn off fit to window. So now you can use images inside of Power View. You can do anything here. It takes an image URL to show up here. So you need to either point to an internal image running inside of your internal machine, but it needs to be pointing an actual URL pointing to that image. So either on-prem or to anywhere on a web server online. And it automatically, Power View will automatically get those images and render them appropriately. Another cool thing that you can do is you can use my country flags. Geography and tile by them. And you can automatically create things down here. You can add matrices, you can add charts, you can add maps, you can whatever you want, you name it. But everything inside this canvas, you see the little dotted lines here on the sides, everything inside here will be automatically filtered by whatever you put in here. And you can imagine things like, your products or your product groups or, I don't know, your employees or all of those things. And then you can see it down here. So how did I get to show those images? So again, let me close a few of those. I can go to my geography dimension. And here we have a country flag. And then again, we need to set the type to image URL for country flag. There's one downside for this. This we added new to this version of Analysis Services 2000, the version that supports DAX over multidimensional. So this is a new feature. If you want to use it, you need to install the latest version, of course, both for your multidimensional server, your Analysis Services server, and SQL Server Data Tools, because image URL didn't exist before. There's one downside to it. This version of SQL Server Data Tools that you see here is not yet available. It will become available any day now. There were some technical issues with deploying the actual bits to online. So every day now, this version of SDT will become available online. You can download it, install it on your machine, and get started with the image URL. If you're really anxious to do it, you can do it using XMLA. Just a hint. So if you set it to image URL, PowerView will automatically start to translate URLs with two images as images and renders them appropriately. Another thing that we now support is translations and perspectives. So what I have here is for my database, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different perspectives where I have different sets of measures and attributes selected. And I have translations on this table. So everything is translated into Spanish and French. All the metadata is translated. And also the products. Each dimension is translated. Not just the metadata, but also some of the data. For example, the product names are also using a data translation. There's also a name of the column. Where is it? There's also a Spanish name column in here, and will automatically render, get the values from that column into the table when you're connecting to Spanish. It is a little bit different using this than anything else. I'm going to go back here. It's also a little bit different than it is in Excel. I'm connecting to Excel. So what you need to do here is, as a IT pro, you need to create a special version of the RSDS file, where you need to put the cube that you want and the identifier into the connection string of the RSDS file. Different to Excel, where Excel takes your credentials, your local identifier from Excel who's running on site your client, and gives that answer, gives that local identifier to multidimensional cubes, so it automatically translates for you. You don't have to do anything special. Unfortunately, Power BI was not able to do that, so we need to hard code the local identifier. So you need to give it a different connection string for people in Spain than the one in France and the one in the US. But it's pretty easy to set up, and you can also select the perspective that you want to have here. And again, you can do things like using security inside SharePoint, for example, to say everyone in Spain can only see this RSDS file. Everyone in France can only see this RSDS file. Everyone in the US can only see this RSDS file. It's a little bit clunky, but it's a workaround. So what happens here when I click on this RSDS file, what you see here is we now see the Spanish version. You see much less columns and measure groups. Now I need to try to see if my Spanish is good enough to do this. We can add products, and we can add number of clients. Let me fit the window. And you can now see it has Spanish field names, metadata. It also has Spanish data. So the categories are in Spanish. The numbers are the numbers. OK. So this is perspectives and translations. The other interesting thing that is added, and that is what this is actually the end of the multidimensional demo. You have seen the dimensions being shown, the measure groups. We've tried as hard as we can to make sure that you don't have to change your models in order to use PowerView. There's one more thing that I do want to really show you, and that is a new feature that is being added by the PowerView team. It's called pin filters. And actually, it's two features in one. I'm going to open up this report. I'm going to edit it. And what you see here is, again, a report for multiple languages. And what I want to do here is I want to go to my geography. And I want to have a filter by country. So now I only want to see Germany, I only want to see the UK, I only want to see the United States, right? That's great. Now I go to my next slide, and now I have to do it all over again. The filter is not being propagated, it's not being used across the panes. A new feature that they added, and it's a little bit small to read, so let me zoom in, is you can pin filters in PowerView. So what you can do is go here, and click on, let me zoom in again, click on the first icon in there, and it says pin filters. Now I click, it's been pinned, I go back to my second slide, and now you see only country of United States is being selected, and the filter is still being kept on the sheet. And there's actually one more thing, and which this is actually the biggest thing. What you also can do is determine the filter in the query string of PowerView. So you can enable some sort of drill through kind of paths that used to be not available here. But what you can do now is, and this is the URL, add the filter to the URL. So you can create drill through paths or some things like that from performance point into here, classical reporting services into here, and you can do all kinds of cool things. So what you need to do is just go in here, and I think it actually copy this path when you're in the report, and add to the side, add report filter is geography.country equals to Australia. When I'm going to paste this in, and I'm going to show you a slide with more details later. When you're going to paste this in, you will now see that the filters are being applied to Australia automatically. Go back to the next country is Australia. I'm going to go to the next slide. Again, you will see country is Australia. So you can do predefined paths and using the URL. Again, you do need to install PowerView from the latest version of the CU in order for this to work. So this won't work on CU on RTM or SP1. You need to install CU4 of SP1 to get this to work. Okay, so let's go back to some slides. Yeah, we've seen all those. So for pinned filters, it's a PowerView enhancement, and it replicates and links specific filters across all views in the report. Can change one is change all. So if you change one of those pinned filters, it will propagate through to all the other slides in PowerView. It can be modded or added or modified via the filter pane, and can be added via a special RF URL parameter, report filter. So the syntax is SharePoint, view mode presentation, and RF is dimension dot attribute name equals MSFT. Right now, only equals is supported, not anything else. That is only equals, not greater than, smaller than, larger than, all of that is supported. Interesting thing to know is, as of yesterday, I believe, Books Online carries all the online content for DAX over multidimensional cubes, so you will be able to see more. On the analysis services team blog, there is already one blog post. There's also a blog post on the reporting services team blog. There will be more in-depth blog posts coming up in the coming weeks with more details on all kinds of features and things. For example, this is one of them that is going to be coming up on the reporting services team blog, a much more in-detailed blog post about those pinned filters. So you will be able to get more information on the blogs, so keep on following them through the coming weeks. So what do we see? We saw multidimensional models are exposed in PowerView. I don't know if anyone here uses Dynamics AX. Dynamics AX is also leveraging multidimensional models in PowerView. So if you have Dynamics in your organization, they have already multidimensional cubes, and they will also now support PowerView over those multidimensional cubes. So PowerView multidimensionals are exposed in PowerView. We've created PowerView reports against multidimensional models, aka cubes. Again, it's available in SQL Server 2012 SP1 CU4. So it's a little bit of a hidden feature somewhere in a CU, but if you just install it, you can upgrade your existing servers to CU4, and you're good to go. It's released in May, in the very last day of May, but still May 2013. Download and use it, and please let us tell us what you think of it. So, common questions and answers. Do we need to upgrade SSES and SSRS? Yes. So you need to update both analysis services, multidimensional cubes, and reporting services. What multidimensional features are not supported? I think the biggest one is named sets. Named sets are not supported. So you can have named sets in your cubes. The named sets will just be ignored by PowerView. So it doesn't break. You can still use the rest of your model against PowerView, but named sets will not show up. Actions and cell security permissions apply to the connection user. So if you have cell security connections to the connected user, that will also be not supported. So what editions is this available? Enterprise and Business Intelligence editions. So because you need to have PowerView, and PowerView only ships in Enterprise and Business Intelligence SKUs. And also one of the biggest things is, can PowerView in Excel 2013 connect to cubes? Right now it cannot, because we needed to make changes to PowerView in order for us to get this done. And it's not that easy to make those same changes into Excel, because we need to run again on a different release mechanism, the release train. So enabling this is top priority. We don't have an update on timeframes, but we are working on it. So that's the next thing that we're gonna have show up, that you can directly go into Excel 2013, either use pivot tables against those multidimensional cubes, or the PowerView that is inside Excel 2013 and connect that to your multidimensional models. Okay, some related content. A dynamic data visualization with PowerView in Excel, so you want to see about all of the things that you can do with PowerView and all kinds of different visualization options. The Tableau model, querying in DAX, which might now become interesting to you if you're interested in querying. Hands-on labs. And I'll be later today at the booth between 3 and 5. So if you have more questions, come down and harass me there and ask me all kinds of questions that you want. Track resources. And let's go do some questions. Please send in evaluations of the session. Let us know what you think, and let me know what you think about the presentation. All right. So questions. Who has questions? Yes, question.
This is more of a Power View question.
Okay. So the question is, does PowerView support polygons? The answer is no. So PowerView only supports specific dots, specific locations. So if you want to have a state, you will see in the middle of the state. That's it. No polygons as of yet. So another question there? Yeah, another question? The question is, are many-to-many relationships supported? The answer is yes. Anything that you have in your multidimensional cubes, including many-to-many relationships, will just be supported. The biggest problem that we have today in Tableau model about many-to-many relationships is that Tableau doesn't know anything about many-to-many. It only supports one-to-many relationships. Multidimensional models have known many-to-many relationships for years, so it's not a problem there. So yes, it's fully supported. Yes, another question.
When you were showing the drilling down through the hierarchies in that particular view, is that also supported by, you know, linking objects together like a column chart? So when you put the column in the chart filter, say for Australia, all the members of those hierarchies will be filtered as well?
So what you're talking about is not necessarily hierarchies, but it's more attribute relationships.
Okay.
But yes, so we expose the attribute relationships that are in between the members in the dimension to PowerView. So PowerView automatically knows that if you filter something here, it automatically makes sure that it also filters the other values. So that is also fully supported and fully respected by PowerView and the cubes. Yes. Any other questions? All right, thank you very much. I'll be here. So if you have more questions, come up.